Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'd like once again take this opportunity to welcome everyone here into the Clay County Corner here on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, where we come to you live and in living color on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we're thankful for all the people that are listening in this morning. Extremely grateful for the folks that make this possible each Thursday morning, that being the Clay County Chamber of Commerce and the Three Star Committee, and all the very special folks that advertise here on our little radio program that comes to you. And I hope it will be a very interesting show today. I got Mr. Johnny Donaldson here, and we're going to talk about his business here a little bit, and we're going to talk about his early career a little bit. He had an interesting career, I believe, with the Department of Agriculture for a number of years. We're going to talk about that a little bit and a few other things. And during the show, we've got a couple of three birthdays today. We'll be giving away one of our birthday prizes here during the show today. And maybe just have some interesting things to talk about. I know we've got some great things coming up this weekend here at the courthouse. I know this weekend, I know the merchants have one of their special weekends where they've got, I think, some vendors coming in and got maybe some caroling going on the outside, things like that. So come take part of that. And then at 5:30 Saturday night, we're going to have an open mic and Christmas karaoke show here at the courthouse and let folks come in and take a look at our newly remodeled Clay Pack, our Clay County Performing Arts Center. Got a bunch of work done on it. Still got a lot of work going on here in the old courthouse. And we just come up and come by Saturday night and spend some time here around the square. Come in and take a look at the courthouse. You can also take a stroll through our Rolly Hole Marble Museum. We've got that open. So, you know, just got a bunch of things here. And just come by and spend a bunch of your money here in town this weekend instead of taking it all to Cookville. And I guess with that, we'll take a little short break. And I'll remind folks that, of course, we're here at 9 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock this evening we'll rebroadcast. And these shows are streamed on the Del Hall Horizon website by their dates. So if you ever hear one you really want to listen to again, make sure you write the date now so you can go back and find it fairly quick. And so we've got a bunch of things going on between now and Christmas. So, you know, just bear with us and join us and have fun. And with that, we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked. That's Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone.
They repointed all the...
Now, they're in that bad corner.
Yeah.
If you noticed them...
I hadn't really looked at it. I was just over here the other day, and I looked up and looked around, and it looks a lot better.
Okay, we're on the air. Welcome back, everyone. Johnny and I are sitting here just having a little conversation. Right now, he has a business here in Salina that he'd been working on for golly, I don't know how many years. It finally got it up and going, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But before that, I'm going to let Johnny kind of give you a little bit of background on himself and his career before he decided that his place was here in Salina with a business. Johnny, tell us a little bit about it. I know you've talked to us before about some of the things that you did after. But start when you went to college, what you majored in, how you got into this first job you had, or one of the first ones.
I actually have a degree in agricultural engineering, and I was one of the first environmental consultants in the United States for large livestock operations. I went to work for the federal government for a little while, about 3 years, and then I got into the private consulting, and I did consulting work all over the United States and actually worked in all the states between the Rockies and the Appalachians. Worked in about every state except for a couple, North and South Dakota, with large livestock operations and doing environmental consulting. And I got the opportunity to see how the rest of this country works during all of my travels. Also was involved with a group in Washington, D.C., between USDA and EPA for about 10 years and got to understand how the system works there. And then in 2012, I came back home and started farming and moved. And then I guess it was in the spring of 2019, my son came to me and said he would like to learn to cut meat. And at that point in time, we started planning this facility that we currently operate.
Okay, let's hold that for a few minutes. I want you to go back and kind of talk about some of the things that you were involved with the federal government. I know at one time you were involved in some mapping things and just... give us a little bit more thing. You know, some of the things, I know some of this stuff is some interesting things there.
I actually learned in my private consulting and when I worked for the government, and I did contract work for the federal government also, and what I did in that entailed learning GIS and using global information systems to map and create and measure and make decisions and dissertate what these facilities needed to do to solve their environmental problems, and then actually help to write the permits and develop all of the things to get these facilities in compliance.
Okay, let's talk about, you know, about the compliance. Some of the things that had to be done, some of the, I guess, some of the new ideas that had to come along and to convince big time stockmen, you know, some of the changes they needed to make and that they had to make.
Yes, we actually, I mean, we have, in that process, we have to demonstrate to the agencies that we are utilizing, not disposing of, our waste. And we have to develop a plan to utilize all of that waste product. And we're basically looking for to get to a zero discharge threshold. That means that we're sustainable forever at that facility.
Okay, and the facilities, I know, are you looking, where you're looking at, everything from big farms to feedlots?
Everything. I mean, I did all kinds of things from feedlots, dairies, ducks, chickens, turkeys, water buffalo. I mean, I've seen a lot of different things in my career and got to see a lot of this country and how the different production phases work in all of these pieces of this puzzle.
Okay, and I know even in our small communities here, when I know we have some feedlots, we have quite a few beef farmers here in Clay County, and you know, I don't know of about the only time we hear anything about the disposal process here is when somebody lets something get in one of the creeks or something. And of course, I mean, we're real small, but you know, what size operations were you working with then a lot of times?
I've worked with dairies from anywhere from 10,000 head down to 50 head. And I've worked on feedlots anywhere from 150,000 down to 50 to 100.
Well, you know, that kind of reminds me of the old many years ago of Bill Cosby, where he had the comedy thing about where he was Noah on the ark, and he was talking to God. He asked him if he considered that mess down the bottom of the ark. You know, but you know, that disposal of things, what we just, cow manure. Some of the uses for.
In my world, when I worked in that world, we tried to get to a point of utilization of all of the nutrients and not just dispose of them, and to utilize those for crop production or come up with an alternative use. Some places I did use some of it for energy production, and I mean, it is the green way to do things, because we're utilizing biomass to sustain us in our livelihood. The things that if we go down the path that a lot of the people think that we should, this country will go hungry. Organics and all of these other things, if we go that path, we're going to cut our production by 30% in this country.
And we can't, I know we're pretty well fed here in this country, and we do a pretty good job of feeding a lot of other countries around the world. And I know, you know, the energy segment of all this, you know, how does that come in? How much of this so-called excess waste, you used to call it excess waste, can actually be converted into some type of energy?
Probably somewhere in the 20 to 30% range that could be converted to a biofuels or biomass, something that can be burned, or we can extrapolate some of the gases off of it and utilize that as a greener energy or a more sustainable energy source.
Okay, and then when something like that is, you know, you take some of the waste and you compress it into what looks like a block of wood.
Mm-hmm.
When that burns, does that add anything to the atmosphere? Is it kind of just kind of disguising it?
It's really not disguising it. I mean, it's a waste and it's a contaminant if in its raw state. But if we can utilize it in some other way to not have to utilize it in that way, then it's safer for the environment.
You know, I know at one time with the gas, the expelling of digestive gas was a big deal, you know, that they're going to have to do away with all the cattle because all of the, I guess, the gas that they expelled was destroying the atmosphere.
Well, my response to that comment is that the cattle were here and the buffalo were here prior to the humans being here.
Yes, and they didn't destroy it then.
They didn't destroy it then, and they don't destroy it, and we're not destroying it now. We have just concentrated our production so we can increase our production and make it much more efficient to feed this world, this growing world that we live in today.
And, well, you know, and another thing before we take a little break here is, I know in the past number of years when we've had our chicken houses here, you know, we usually had a stink season here. And it seems like that has kind of declined. Are we not using the chicken manure for, like, just putting that on the farmland anymore? Or do we still do some of that, or...
We are still utilizing some of that, and there are ways that things can be done and feed ways that they can change the feed rations to decrease some of that. But we do still have that, but a lot of this manure is going out of this county to other places, more crop production oriented areas, and then a lot of it's leaving this county. Where when we first started our poultry production in this county, a lot of it was staying here because we were a nutrient deficit county at that time. But we have since improved our fertility to the point that we can now export some of that out of our county.
And you know, and I remember many, many years people talking about the pig industry, when they were processing the pork, that the only thing they wasted was the squeal.
That is correct.
And that's kind of what we're looking for in basically all of these operations, isn't it, that we don't waste.
We don't want to waste a resource that we have that can be utilized in an environmentally conscious way to promote or to continue, so we don't have to rely so heavily on chemical composition products. We can actually use the natural products that we have readily available to us here.
And I know yesterday, and in the, you know, in that area, that the group meeting over in somewhere in the Middle East, that they actually, you know, that they came up with a plan for the first time ever, where I think they said they had mentioned that the reduction of petroleum type energy, that some of the countries over in the Middle East, you know, had agreed to look at something like 40 years down the road, kind of cutting back on that type thing. And you know, that's, you know, when we look at that from a practical side, it'd be kind of hard to ask anyone to give up what those folks in those countries are going to have to give up if we go to a
net zero
on that type thing. And that gets into world politics and everything in the world. With that, Johnny, we're going to take a little short break. We're going to come back and we're going to continue, and we're going to hear a little bit about your operation, what it's like up there, and what you're planning on doing, and then we may wander off somewhere else before we get done. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. I enjoy just sitting and talking on this. And
that's... Well, you know, Thomas, this thing is... I'm thankful that you let me come in and talk about some of these things, because it's gonna be an important issue here.
And there's no way around it.
No.
You know, all of our politicians, no matter right, left, or...
Well, we need to get to them.
And no wings. There's no way that the natural progress, the way we're going, is not going to involve some hard decisions.
Yes. And we have to. We have to keep our food production. That has to be, because this country, this world is getting larger every day. And if we start go down the path that the left wants us to go down, we're going to have hungry people in this world. We've already got hungry people in this world. We have never in the U.S. ever seen hunger to the level that they've seen it in these other countries.
Oh, I'm telling you what, now they, like I used to say about some of our businesses, that those folks cook and eat things out. And that's, I mean, there's just not, and you know, and you look too, and you look, well, you look in a country like India where there are lots of people starving to death, but they can't eat cattle, you know, because of their religious belief, and you know that. And I guess there's still a lot of folks that ain't going to eat pork.
That's right.
And you know, and...
Well, you know, the thing about the poultry industry is it is the protein source that feeds the world.
You had never had any chicken. Y'all ever had any chicken houses? I didn't think you had. Now, what about acreage? Now, you still got some acreage where you're farming on?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, up the river.
300-something acres that we feed all of our own cattle. So.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, I got Mr. Johnny Donaldson. Is your real name John?
And my real name is John.
I know you've always been Johnny ever since you were my basketball manager and before that. And I think we're even distantly related to our families. Known Johnny for a long, long time. And I do know that he has had an interesting career up to this point. And right now he is, within the last 4 or 5 years, he has done nearly a 360 turnaround, and opening up a business. And the name of your business is what? D&D?
D&D Meats.
D&D Meats. And he's got a little sign up. He don't have a great big flashing sign or anything. But tell us, you know, about getting that started, when you're thinking on that, and all the problems, some of the problems you ran into. And, you know, and I do know, I'll throw something out here, that over the past years, we have a tremendous water supply here in this county, and water is the most important thing outside of the animals that goes along with a business like he's in. And over the years, I know we've had some major companies that needed excess water to run their businesses, but they've located somewhere else. And you know, that's something that's kind of hard to understand, why a greenhouse operation in Overton County could afford to run a water line from the Cumberland River down at Butler's Landing to the other side of Livingston instead of locating in Clay County. We ain't going to get in that, though. Look, tell us about your business, Johnny.
We, in 2020, we decided that we were going to build a USDA inspected harvest facility here in the county, and one of the major things that goes into a facility like that, we are a federally inspected facility, which means that we have a federal inspector on site every day, and we operate under the auspice of the Federal Meat Inspection Act, and FSIS provides us with that inspection service, which that means that we can actually export our product out of this county. It can go into any retail, wholesale, or to any place in the world.
Okay, tell us how you got started, some of the things you ran into, permits. I mean, what it's like to start a business like that.
Well, the first thing that we have to do is we have to design a facility. We have to develop HACCP plans for our facility. We have to get a environmental permit for our wastewater and all of our other things. The first thing that they ask for when we submit for that grant of inspection is our wastewater permit, and they ask for a water sample.
Okay, now, do you have the capability of taking care of your wastewater there, or?
Yes, all of our wastewater, we deal with it on site, and the only thing that we export, we do all of our drop and offal that comes out, the waste out of the carcasses. Currently, that is going to a rendering plant, and down the road, we hopefully possibly are looking at putting a dog food plant in to utilize that product and market that product here locally.
So that a lot of that waste does go into the animal feed.
Not the animal feed.
It's to feed your animals.
We don't. Actually, there is a 1996 feed ban after the first bovine encephalitis spongiform case in the U.S. We actually have to remove all of the spinal column and all of the spinal tissue from every carcass that's over 30 months of age. So that cannot go into either any of the secondary protein markets or any for human consumption.
So it seems like, you know, when basically just about every industry runs into something like that where something unexpected comes along and all it, you got to retool a lot of stuff. You got to do more stuff, extra things.
But there is I spent a year and a half planning this facility before we started construction, and it's a daunting task to step into this. We're regulated heavier than most hospitals are because we actually have a federal inspector on site monitoring our establishment to see that we're doing things in a wholesome and a safe manner from a food safety standpoint.
Okay, let's take a little short break here. We've got a few birthdays today. I know we have Kendrick McDonald celebrating a birthday today, and this one is actually over just across the state line. I want to wish her a happy birthday, and that's Miss Greta Hale. And wish her a happy birthday, and have her to tell Brian to get well. I think he's been under the weather for a day or two. And today's Mr. Paul Boyce's birthday. So we wish him a happy birthday, and Haley Copas Howard celebrating birthdays today. I know we probably got much more, but those are the ones that we got information on. You know anybody's having a birthday this week? With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll come back, and we're going to continue this, and we're going to talk about the facility up there and a typical day up there at the meat processing place. And of course, this is not just necessarily a meat processing place, because anybody can take an animal somewhere and get it processed and cut up and brought back home. But that's not what we got going on up there. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget.
Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. I know we were just kind of talking offline, and we were talking about, you know, probably the one great natural resource we have here in Clay County that most places don't have, that played a pretty good part in his decision to do what he's doing now. John, you want to talk to a little bit about that, about the water supply here in this area?
One of the things that we have learned in our year and a half of operation is that the water quality here in this county, in this here, is a resource that we have that nobody else has. We do not have to pre-treat any of our water. We don't have to do anything to it. It comes into our facility clean, and we get virtually zero bacterial growth on any of our carcasses up to as long as 21 to 30 days. And that's something that everybody that's been in our facility says that there's no, they've never been in a facility that can do that. So that being said, I think we have a natural resource in this county that we have never capitalized on, and that's both the water supply and the cleanliness of our water. And in all my travels, the two things that I've noticed and I learned, if there's a water supply in a location, then there is prosperity.
Well, of course, a whole lot of our prosperity is based on the fact we got the water dammed up here and got a big lake. But that's not, you know, that shouldn't be the major thing that really, really benefits our county here.
No, we have a huge water supply here, and it's pretty much unlimited. We don't have to worry about doing without water because we have it, but it's also clean. And that's a plus.
Yes, it is. I mean, like I said, I know folks that fish in our lake in the wintertime, they don't think twice about dipping a cup down and getting a drink of water out of it, because I think that water is up in the 90% purity level, which is totally unheard of. I know over the years, a lot of local folk complained about how the Corps of Engineers kind of overrode on people's wants and wishes of things they wanted to do in and around that lake. But we have done a great job of, you know, keeping the purity of the water and our rivers that come through here. I know we do get some wash off in our streams that come through, but and I know right now we are trying to protect even our little streams, because every once in a while we'll read a little story in the paper about somebody that's let a little excess material make it into one of our streams. But, you know, that's something that we'll have to continue to try to protect and make sure that it never gets contaminated.
That is correct.
Yeah, okay, now let's talk a little bit about a day up at the D&D.
Well, we harvest 3 days a week right now, and we are under federal inspection. Our clock is set by the federal government. We start at 7 a.m., and our clock stops at 3:30 in the afternoon, and that's dictated by the federal government.
So that's your work day inside the building?
Inside the building.
Okay, now outside the building, do you produce some of your own animals?
Yes, we are a complete vertically integrated facility for our beef and lamb. We actually produce the beef, grow the beef, and feed the beef, and harvest it right there. My son raises the lamb, and we partner with Hampton Farms on Pea Ridge. They produce most of our pork, and then we also partner with Sweetwater Valley Farms over in Philadelphia, Tennessee, who is a good friend of mine, and he produces cheese. We market his cheese through our facility, help him to market his cheese through our facility.
Okay, now, out of the product there, of course, I guess the beef is your major.
Beef is our major product. We actually do what's called value-added cutting, and we are basically a case-ready facility. We take the animal, we harvest it, we age it, we're 100% dry aged, and then we cut that product into retail cuts and package that product. We have both fresh and frozen product in our facility, and it's all 100% grain finished. We do not do any grass fed product.
Okay, now the wholesale, retail, walk in.
We actually have a retail space on site, a small retail space on site. We also have just opened an online store through Barn to Door that can be found on our Facebook page, and where you can shop and order. You can pick up at our facility, or we will deliver to. Right now we have a delivery point, and we deliver to Cookeville once a week, Crossville, Bowling Green, Lebanon, and Franklin once a month.
Okay, now let's talk about you get an animal in there ready to harvest. Tell us about that nice grizzly process of going through all this, which is probably not grizzly, but I just threw that in there.
We live our lives, we make all of our decisions in our facility based on three rules. And these three rules that we, animal welfare, an effective humane stun, sanitization is rule number two, and life begins at 40 and ends at 140. All of our decisions in our facility are made based on those three rules.
Okay, now I know we were sitting talking yesterday for a few minutes, and that 40-140, you know, a little bit, and I know a lot of folks don't realize the the fear of undercooked beef and products and things like that. You know, we've got the little notices there in the on the menu in a restaurant. You know, undercooked food.
In microbiology, bacteria growth does not start until above 40 degrees. From 40 to 42, bacteria growth starts at 40. At 42 degrees, it doubles. At 44 degrees, it doubles again. So we maintain all of our product at less than 40 degrees. So that ensures that we have a safe, wholesome product going out the door. Once a carcass is harvested and goes into our cooler, that product is above 40 degrees from that point on.
How many different cuts does the carcass produce?
Well, I just this morning I had a call from a consultant was needing information, so I pulled information. We cut, when we do value-added cutting, we don't cut many chuck roasts. We cut steaks that most people here have never heard of. We actually do steak cuts called a chuck eye, a Denver, and a flat iron. Most of the people that walk into our facility, they want a filet or a ribeye because right. that's all they've ever heard of.
Right.
Well, there are other cuts in that carcass that are equal to or better flavor-wise than those other cuts. So one of the things that we do in our whole plan is we pride ourselves in our fat. We have a clear white fat, and it takes a minimum of 180 days on feed to clear that fat up and get it white.
So that depends on the menu you feed.
Yes.
Okay, now, all the different cuts, you know, you mentioned that. And, of course, we know, like, if we go into a grocery store, one of the cheaper cuts of meat you'll see, and I know, like, you'll see the flat iron cut. You'll see the eye round and the round steak. Usually the round is usually one of the cheaper cuts.
It is. And we grind most of our round. We don't cut any round steak because our goal is to put out a premium product that the consumer or the customer is going to have an excellent eating experience when they eat that. And so that's why we don't cut any round steak. We would rather, and in my personal thing is I'd rather sell you a good product then I had a high good product.
Okay, let's take another little short break. We're going to come back. We need to work in a few words for the folks that make this show possible here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock on WLIV-FM. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the effect of the tenderness of the piece of meat you get by the way it gets cut up. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company,
located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Hey everyone, we were talking about, you know, cutting up a beef product, and I know Johnny went through a couple of things there, and I know while we were off here, he mentioned the fact, you know, that they don't do a lot of the cheaper cuts of the meat, but, you know, what effect does the method of cutting up a product have to do with it, the tenderness of it, the way it cooks?
Cutting product, we hand cut all of our product. We don't do a lot of the speed stuff. We actually hand cut all of our steaks. The two rules of cutting meat is you always cut across the grain.
Right.
Anytime, and if we cut those across the grain, and then we will, if we serve you one of these, if we sell you one of these value added cuts, some of those you have a way that you have to prepare it and actually cut that product or slice that product after it's prepared so that you enhance that experience, because if you go at it like you would, if you start to slice it the way that you think you would, then you may be going opposite or with the grain. So a lot of times we will give you a method to how to prepare it and how to slice that product, some of these value added, and they'll be example. We sell a chuck eye steak, which is the same cut as a ribeye, except that it doesn't meet the criteria for us to call it a ribeye because of its size, and it comes from the chuck region of the carcass, anterior and in the carcass underneath the shoulder blade, and we pull that out and cut that into what's called a chuck eye steak, the second least used muscle in the animal's body, is where the flat iron comes from, or the blade steak, and it comes from right on top of the blade, and it's the second least used muscle in that animal's body, and use of the muscle is what increases the tenderness of that product. So the least used muscle is the psoas, which is the filet, where the filet mignon comes from, or the small side of a T-bone or a porterhouse. And this is the next least used muscle in that animal's body. So tenderness, but it does have a gristle in it, or a tendon in it, that we have to fillet out and remove that product to get you to a cut of meat that you can eat with it, with a good experience.
Okay, now the one of the biggies, a prime rib.
Yes, we actually do prime rib. We do both prime rib and standing ribs. We are currently taking orders for Christmas and New Year's on custom cut, both French standing rib roast and prime rib roast. For those, we can cut those at any, you know, pretty much any time we have. But we're currently taking orders. We'll prepare those and have those ready for you on your date.
Okay, now, the prime rib, the difference in that and the rib eye.
It's actually the same, same muscle. That is actually the longest Mastorsi eye. And when we take that muscle from anterior to posterior in that carcass,
front end to rear end.
Front end to rear end, anterior being the front of the carcass and posterior being the rear of the carcass. The first cut of meat that comes off of that, which is over the rib cage, will be the rib eye or the prime rib or the standing rib roast. The second piece that comes out of that will be the New York strip.
Right.
It will flatten out. It's exactly the same muscle cut. No, actually, the first cut that comes out is the chuck eye. Which, if you go by chuck roast and a 7-bone chuck roast, and you see that long flat bone in it, well, the lower side of that bone, what's below that bone, which is the tenderest part of that chuck roast, is the same cut as that chuck eye. That's just a smaller cut, so that'll be the first steak cut that comes out of that long isthmus dorsi. You'll get your ribeyes and your prime ribs next. Then you'll get your New York strips, and then the back end of that muscle will be your sirloins.
Okay, now, and I know if you take and lay a T-bone out on the plate and look down at it on the large side, that is what is usually be where the ribeye would come from. But if you'll notice when you eat that baby, that side on the left-hand side looking down is just as tender as it can be, which is?
The filet mignon.
The filet mignon, which is the?
The French, it's the gold standard or the French, the cream of the crop.
Yes. Okay, now another thing we talked about yesterday, we were sitting talking about, was one of the processes you use for getting the steak ready for sale, where it takes a whole bunch of time.
We actually do a dry aging process. We have both 60, 90, and 120-day dry age product in our facility, and we have done some studies to try to figure out what's the optimum time. What we've learned in our studies is 60 days post breakdown of the carcass is the optimum time for us to cut that product to minimize our losses and enhance the flavor and the tenderness of that product.
Okay, does that mean that type of process, the meat is drier?
It will be drier. It will be lighter. At 60 days, we get basically the same number of cuts, but those cuts will be lighter, which means in turn that our price has to go up some because of our time. But it is most people have never had a 60-day dry-aged steak. They are terribly expensive in steakhouse if you go somewhere
right.
To buy one.
Right. Okay, and the juices in that, does that affect the flavor at any? Or?
Oh, it the flavor changes every 30 days.
Okay.
So if we cut that carcass at day 14 and then we continually dry age that carcass for an additional 30, then the flavor profile will change at 30, again at 60, 90, and 120. But our weight goes down
right
throughout that whole process. But you take that product out and let it and salt it and put it on the plate, the moisture will come back to that product. It is an amazing process of how that will.
Oh, okay, now let's change horses real quick. We're about to run out of time. What about the pork products? Do you do sausage there?
We actually do. We keep mild. We make mild, medium, and hot sausage. All of our sausages, most of it's in 2-pound rolls, and we keep ground beef at all times.
I'm going to have to come up and buy something. try all this. You've got my appetite whetted a little bit here. And I know you said also you do lamb.
Yes, we do lamb.
Goat? Do you do many much?
We've goat? Only killed a couple of goats, but we do have some goat in the freezer.
Okay. I know us farm boys out in the county, we were kind of used to eating goat meat when we grew up. And I do remember the process of that you had to be very, very careful when you harvested a goat out on the farm. You had he took them out and got them out on the farm somewhere. Or another. You had to take 8 or 10 gallons of water to wash them, clean them before you even attempted to bring them home. So, but I know Johnny, this has been a very, very interesting day here, and I hope the folks have picked up a little bit of knowledge, and I hope that'll get some of them to start taking the turn there at the D&D sign and come. A lot of the local folks, I know you have some great business out where you're spreading your product out all over the area, and I know you would love to have quite a few more local folks coming in and looking around, at least take a look at the facility, and I'm sure they can't wander off into the building or anything, but they can kind of maybe look out a window at it or some of those things and look at this. And I know this is a major undertaking on your part and your family, and we hope that this continues to be successful and grows. How many employees do you have there?
We currently have 10 employees.
And this is not the ideal place to work if you are susceptible to a little bit of cool weather, because the temperature stays in there.
We work at 38 degrees pretty much all the time.
And that's not good if you have creaky bones already.
No.
And I do remember that one of the few times I'd ever had a carcass worked on by a butcher, I had a beef, and he asked me how I wanted it cut up, and I told him I wanted it mostly in T-bones, but it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. We only get about 30 pounds of ribeyes and about 22 pounds of New York strips and about 10 pounds of fillets out of a carcass, and the rest of it has got to do something else with it.
Okay, now about what percent of prime food do you get out of, say, a 1,000-pound beef or something?
We take if you bring me a an animal, a live animal, we base all of our numbers, you'll get around a 60% carcass weight out of whatever that carcass is, 60 to 64%. The average number in the country is 64, so you take 64% of the live weight, and that's what your carcass weight is. Then your take-home product, if this is a custom animal or something that you bring to us for us to harvest and process for you, our average number is about 36% of live weight is what your take-home product is. So if we harvest a 1,400-pound carcass, we're looking at getting about 550 pounds of marketable product out of that carcass.
And all the rest of that product, if you can find something to use it for, is just pure profit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Johnny, I appreciate you being here this morning. And before we leave, we've got to announce our winner of the birthday prize today. That's Mr. Paul Boyce. And, Paul, you need to come by the chamber office and pick up your envelope. And with that, I guess we're going to have to say, you know, that we've got most everything put back up here where it ought to be, getting the door shut down and getting ready to get out of here. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here next Thursday morning. And we of course, we may not be on next Thursday morning because of Christmas. I hadn't checked that out yet. But we appreciate you listening. And with that, we'll say, may the good Lord bless and keep you, and good day, Clay County.